Yosef's brothers don't like him. They find a pit and throw him in. He has a dream, makes a plan, becomes second in command. The brothers show up to buy food. Yosef doesn't like their attitude. He works it out with them and moves up.
This week's Parsha is Vayeshev, which begins the famous story of Yosef, the technicolor dream coat, his dreams, his brothers, and all the drama that goes with this. And the entire story of Parshat Vayeshev can actually be found in two installments from last year, both Parshat Vayeshev Full Edition and Parshat Vayeshev Divash Edition. So I encourage you to go back and listen to both of those in the archives. But it is such a rich and incredible story that there are even more dimensions to the story that I've never spoken about before. And even in preparing for this week's Parsha podcast, I learned some new information myself, and I wanted to share it with all of you today. But first, the context. We need to remember that this story is full of characters, relationships, ups and downs, twists and turns. But they all eventually end up with Yosef being in Mitzrayim with the perfect opportunity to eventually meet the Pharaoh, interpret his dreams, become second in command, and eventually bring Yaakov and the entire family down to Egypt. And when Yaakov brings his entire family down to Egypt, and they eventually become slaves, I know, spoiler alert, they are fulfilling a prophecy that God had given to Avraham many, many parshiot ago, when God promised Avraham that Bnei Israel would one day be enslaved in a foreign land, only to be redeemed and freed and brought back to the promised land, the land of Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. So every step along the journey of Yosef and his brothers and Parshat Vayeshev are critical to making sure that the prophecy comes true. And so the Midrashim tell us about God's role in the entire story, even though in Parshat Vayeshev there aren't many moments when God is an active participant. The Midrash will have us understand the roles that God does play in this story. The first time that God really appears as an active participant in the story is after Yaakov sends the brothers away, saying, guys, I know Yosef is being very annoying. I know that he was just saying some crazy dreams and you're really angry at him. Go take my flocks down to Shechem. Cool off, take a breather, and come back refreshed later in the day, okay? All right, Dad, only because we love you are we not beating this kid up right now. And they bring their flocks down, and Yaakov pulls Yosef aside and says, Yosef, maybe you went a little too far with the dreams. You know that I love you. You know that you're my favorite. You know that I love you because you remind me of your mother, Rachel. But come on. All this talk about dreams and all the tattletaling. Listen, Yosef, your brothers are going to Shechem. Why don't you go help them out with the flocks a little bit? Bond with them. Let them know that you're a good guy, okay? And Yosef says, oh, okay, Dad. Okay, I'll do it. Now, Yosef goes to find his brothers who are attending their flocks in Shechem, but he actually has never really traveled this far away, and he finds himself lost. Oh, gosh. Something tells me that I'm not in the same place anymore. Am I east or west? I've never done this traveling before. And Yosef finds a man at that exact moment, a man who we know very little about. And he goes up to him and he says, excuse me, sir. Did you happen to see 10 brothers with a bunch of flocks going in a certain direction? And this man points Yosef in the correct direction. Now, had that man not appeared, there's a chance that Yosef would have given up. There's a chance that Yosef would have gone in the wrong direction. There's a chance that the timing would have been totally different. But because that man correctly points Yosef toward his brothers, he finds his brothers, they grab him, beat him up, throw him into a pit, and eventually sell him into slavery. And so the Midrash tells us that that man is an angel, the archangel Gabriel, who knew that Yosef needed to find his brothers so that they could sell him into slavery, so that he could end up in Egypt, so this journey could go on. Had Yosef gotten lost, none of the other parts of the story would have happened. Now, this might seem a little dark that God needs Yosef to be sold into slavery. And so we learn another midrash, and this is the one that I had not heard before, which is that when the traveling salespeople, the Ishmaelites, come by, they're selling oils and spices and gum and goods, and the Midrash asks, why do we need to know that they had these oils and these spices that they were selling? And it's because, according to the Midrash, God wanted to make Yosef's journey as pleasant as it could be. God said, I know that Yosef is going to be feeling kind of bummed that he's thrown into a pit and he's sold into slavery by his brothers to a bunch of Ishmaelite tradespeople. And if I was Yosef, I'd feel pretty sad myself. And so I'll try to make his journey as comfortable as possible. Let's have the ones who are going to trade him be a particular group of salespeople. Let's have them be oils and spices salespeople because their caravans smell the best. I mean, we could have him go down to Egypt in a caravan full of manure, or we could have him go down to Egypt in a caravan full of onions, but let's do pleasant oils and spices instead. And so that's what happens because God wants Yosef's journey to be good. Now, similarly, once Yosef gets down to Egypt, down to Mitzrayim, he starts working for a man named Potiphar. And we are made to understand that Potiphar was a tough boss for Yosef to have. And the Midrash says that in order to make Yosef's life a little bit easier, God helped Yosef along the way. Because Potiphar would do this thing. He'd say, hey, Yosef, go get me some white wine. And Yosef would come over and he would pour him some white wine. And Potiphar, to be really mean, would say, actually, I've decided that I'd prefer red. And then he would look down and it was actually red that Yosef had poured him. Oh, thank you very much. Okay. Now, Yosef, I'd like you to please fetch me some apples. Thank you very much. And he would put out his hand waiting for the apples. And just as Yosef would put an apple in his hand, Potiphar would say, actually, I would prefer a pear. Thank you very much. And, oh, it was a pear. Okay. You obviously know exactly what I'm thinking and exactly what I actually want. And it turns out that God was helping Yosef all along the way to make sure that Potiphar would realize that there was something very special about you, young man. And Yosef's time in Egypt was actually going very well, very smoothly, very easily. Got to the point, though, that Yosef actually started to think that he was the reason why all of this was happening. Well, sir, I don't know what to tell you, but I just really get you. And God didn't like that. God wanted Yosef to begin to understand that God was actually the one who was a part of so many details of Yosef's story. And so God allowed a pretty bad thing to happen to Yosef. God allowed Potiphar's wife to try to seduce him and then charge Yosef with an untrue crime. Kind of knock Yosef down a peg a bit. But as we know, Yosef ending up in jail was not ultimately a bad thing. In fact, it was in jail where Yosef meets the cupbearer and the baker who tell him their dreams. He correctly interprets them. And then finally, the cupbearer is brought out of prison to be restationed right at the hand of the Pharaoh, which is going to be very helpful in next week's podcast, Parsha. Shabbat Shalom and Chanukah Sameach.